Former Maldivian President Nasheed was in Bangalore to attend the Hindu Huddle on 17th and 18th February, wherein he was asked as to what exactly he had in mind when he sought the dispatch of a special envoy along with a military contingent from India. What was to be the agenda of this military contingent and what were to be its mission objectives? Nasheed realized the difficulty of the question, which may not have been so obvious when he made his now famous tweet that reportedly put out a contingent of about 400 troops in Bangalore to be on alert to move at a short notice. He went on to explain that he did not want the Indian troops to come and depose President Yameen, which is obviously the job of the Maldivians. He did not want Indian troops to come as an occupation force to take control of the capital Malay. He wanted merely force projection to be sent as a signal of Indian displeasure at Yameen's high-handed behavior towards his own people and the country's constitutional instructions, such as the parliament and the judiciary. It is a tough act. You send your troops but don't fire. We have already done that in Sri Lanka in 1987 and it was a disaster. Does dictatorship in Maldives merit Indian intervention? No doubt there is much that is rotten about Yameen's rule. His unbridled corruption, utter disregard for democratic norms, arresting the Chief Justice of the Maldivian Supreme Court and his deputy for issuing an unpleasant order, sacking two police commissioners, and the director of prisons for saying that they would implement the court order, not permitting the court reinstated MPs to take part in parliamentary proceedings, and finally arresting his own mentor and facilitator, former President Mumun Abdul Gayoom, who has now become the Grand Patriarch of the opposition. Does all this merit an Indian military intervention? Perhaps not, but the fact that Nasheed sought such an intervention is a sign of the helplessness at India's continued inability to intervene at several inflection points in the past, when democratic norms and rule of law were systematically undermined by Yameen. Now with China telling India and other countries to lay off their hands from what is purely an internal matter of a sovereign country, we clearly have a competitor in our backyard. More important than the rhetoric have been the reports of PLA Navy's movements in the eastern seaboard of the Indian Ocean. It was reported a week ago that 11 Chinese warships sailed into an East Indian Ocean in February 2018 amid a state of emergency in the Maldives. A fleet of destroyers, at least one frigate, a 30,000-ton amphibious transport dock, and three support tankers entered the Indian Ocean, according to news portal sina.com.cn. Those sources in our defense ministry clarified that there were no such movements anywhere near the Maldives and that the Chinese ships were at least 2,500 nautical miles away from our neighboring archipelago. Scaremongering has started. More recently, there have been reports of a joint ocean observation station that China is looking to establish in the Maldives. The so-called observatory is to be located in the Makundu Island, the westernmost atoll to the north of Malay, closest to the Indian coastline. That Yameen's government was negotiating the lease of these islands in the northernmost atoll to China was known to us over 3 years ago. What have we done since then? Now to say that this observatory will not only be a watching station and a listening post with radars and SIGINT facilities, but will also have military application with provisions for a submarine base should not come as a surprise to anyone in the strategic community in Delhi. One comforting thought, though, is that it is still in the planning stage. But with China, proposals become a reality at breathtaking speed. Yameen, by having signed the free trade agreement with China in December 2017, only the second country after Pakistan in the neighborhood, and pledging to align the country along the maritime skill route as part of the Belt and Road Initiative of China, has made it clear as to where he wants to position his country. With China's presence becoming so ominously imminent, can India dare to do anything in the Maldives? Is China really interested in protecting and defending Yameen, or is it payback time for China due to India's excessive interest in Vietnam? A litmus test. Yes, it is agreed that foreign policy cannot be compartmentalized into regions and we cannot sacrifice one region to protect the other. And it should be essentially a projection of what you are and you stand for as a country. Let us say, India stands for rule-based governance in international relations. But when you join hands with one group of nations against the other, which is not exactly following the high moral principle, but its own narrow self-interest, you should be ready to face retaliation. Enunciating principles is easy, but to stand by them is tough. Will the Quad come to your aid if you decide to confront China in the Maldivian waters? It's too premature to test this as yet, as it is an unstructured institution. Secondly, with President Trump in the White House, none would bet on his words. China is testing India's ability to stand up for its convictions and for its interest in the neighborhood, first in Bhutan and now in the Maldives. If we let our neighborhood to be in the grip of China, our ambitious policies such as Look East and Act East would remain quite hollow. It may look quite dramatic to have 10 heads of states on one platform to witness our Republic Day parade, but what is it in for us in Brunei and the Philippines, if not in our neighborhood? Net provider for security. It has become fashionable for our chiefs of army and the navy to talk of India being a net provider of security in our neighborhood, including the Indian Ocean. While it sounds very impressive, what exactly do they mean by it? Are we really capable of providing it, or is it just an aspirational thing? Are we truly committing to protect our neighborhood from external threats? Well, Doklam is a case in point, and while Bhutan may have heaved a sigh of relief that China's road construction may not come exactly at the tri-junction, but a few kilometers away, it would be anybody's guess as to when China would strike again and with what force. Or would China simply buy up Bhutan with expensive investments that it can ill afford? As our neighbors, starting with Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Nepal and Maldives, mortgage their land along with their sovereignty to China's easy-flowing cash, India has to come up with more ingenious ways of winning over our friends by using all the odd tricks. Sam, Dam, Dand, Bhed. There is much that our agencies can do in the neighborhood. Sabka Saath, Sabka Vikas seems to be not working. If they want a Vikas with Chinese characteristics, then what happens to your policy?